This is the Ryder and Lisa replay.
Brought to you by Southtown Hyundai. Check out the Southtown Hyundai Advantage at southtownhyundai.ca.
Thank you for checking out the show. We're asking if you ever ran into a celebrity and you didn't know that they were a big deal.
Rosalind wrote in saying, 15 years ago, I was on Bourbon Street. I had a few drinks and I was waiting in line for the bathroom across the hallway. There was this huge dude wearing pedicure flip-flops. So the flip-flops they give you in a salon before you get your nails done. And I told him I liked his pedicure flip-flops. I had absolutely no idea it was UFC fighter Chuck Liddell. My boyfriend at the time was mortified. Okay, but also, like, why is he wearing pedicure flip-flops?
Well, you know, he probably, like...
Do you have to?
Had just kicked the crap out of somebody and his feet were sore.
Oh, maybe that's what happened. Who knows? Christian wrote in saying, I used to own three stores at West Edmonton Mall. That's usually where celebrities go. Like, I remember hearing that Rihanna was in the Roots buying some... swag, like Canadian swag. And I was like, yes, because I used to work in the mall as well. Anyway, Christian says Kenny Rogers came into one of my stores barefoot. Like, why?
I hope he bought some shoes.
But yeah, Christian said I didn't know who he was at the time. Also, Paula Abdul.
Straight up?
Straight up.
84 to 86, I'm working at Banff at Melissa's Mistake Steakhouse. And one Sunday, we're in there cooking up, and somebody comes in and says, I think I recognize this guy. So I looked out the little pass window in the kitchen doors, and there's Gary Berghoff in having brunch.
Who's that?
I comment on it to the other guys in the kitchen. They're going, who, Gary Jerkoff? I said, no, Radar from MASH.
Oh!
No way. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking at the window.
That's kind of cool.
One of my friends, Asif, was in an elevator with Moose.
Like Mark Messier?
Yeah, didn't know it was him until he got off the elevator, and then he just yells, like, last minute, I'm a huge fan! So embarrassing.
What do you got for us?
I worked at McDonald's. I worked at the one by Kingsway, and that's where, like, one of our managers kicked out the Backstreet Boys because we closed the doors at 11, and they were still in there, and she didn't know they were the Backstreet Boys. So she's like, I'm sorry, you guys are going to have to leave. And then the district manager said, well, next time you have Backstreet Boys in, just let them stay until they're done eating. And there was a Korn concert, and they came through the drive-thru, and I was working drive-thru. And so I said to them, I said, oh, did you guys go to a Korn concert? And they go, yeah, we did. You probably couldn't have had the concert without us. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, do you listen to the group? I'm like, no. I said, I wouldn't know who they were if I was talking to them. I'm like, yeah. And then they go to the second window, and then the person comes back and says, oh, my God, can you believe Korn was just here?
No! All right, we all know the legend Dick Van Dyke, right? He's 95 years old now. And he is still such a sweet angel. He's such a good guy. The other day he was seen, he showed up at the Los Angeles Malibu Community Labor Exchange where people were waiting in line to find a job. And he just began handing out cash to job seekers. 95 years old, and he was actually quoted once saying, that whole rule about having to act one's age, I just don't buy it. Cheers to that. And there's videos of him dancing. He's just such a sweet soul. I love this.
Tell me something good.
My story is about a puppy who got caught on an ice floe in the waters of the Detroit River for 4 days in February.
I hate it.
Obviously very cold. A wildlife photographer first noticed the dog that was stranded. Reached out to some people. Nobody could figure out how to get this dog. When finally, Jude Mead was his name, and his son, who owned a marine construction company, took matters into their own hands. They got an airboat loan to them, and they were able to go across the ice and the cold water to get the dog and bring it back. They took it to the vet. It's been nursed back, and it's ready for adoption now. And guess who's adopting it?
Jude.
Yeah.
Yes.
The man that went out and saved the dog, and they've named it Miracle.
Tell me something good.
Play 107.
What kind of people do you just not trust? And it could be for the silliest reason. For example, like people who are early for everything. What's your deal?
Mm-hmm. We've brainstormed some of our own answers. Should we get to those right now?
Yeah, let's just so the listeners can have some good examples, right?
People that end their sentences with a weird little sound.
Yeah. Anyone that orders a second Caesar before eating, how do you have room for that?
Someone who buys a vehicle that's too big for their garage. What?
Women that go for a run when they have their period.
People that hover the dip table.
That's me.
Yeah.
You don't trust me? What do you think I'm going to do? Double dip? I'm not a double dipper.
Well, if you stand in there long enough, you probably will.
No, I'll never double dip. If anything else, I'll turn it around and dip the other side.
But also, like, move.
No.
Other people want some dip.
No.
Sorry. Hey, listen. I thought this
was
supposed to be...
We're talking about people you don't trust. You don't trust me?
I don't trust you.
You don't trust me.
Not at a dip table.
Okay, so Anastasia wrote in, and it made me laugh so hard. She's like, I don't trust people who say whoopsie doodle.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't trust people that call me without caller ID.
See, that one is very valid, because it's like, why? Where's your caller ID, you weirdo?
Yeah, Lisa, exactly.
I do not trust people that just naturally wake up in the morning without drinking coffee.
Okay,
like,
that
at all.
That's such a good answer. Chelsea texted in, one of our listeners, saying people who drink tea in the morning instead of coffee. Like, why? I don't trust
you. But tea has more caffeine than coffee.
Right, so that makes sense. But I don't understand the people that just wake up and they get to wake up, though. I'm with you.
Yeah, just naturally. Like psychopaths. Like, not, no, I don't trust you.
Now we're getting some good text rolling in. Haley says, someone who orders a salad at a restaurant, especially if it's like a greasy, delicious pub.
Well,
no.
With a protein, I'm all right with it.
No, that's $18 before you add meat to it. That's lettuce. You're paying $18 for lettuce. I don't trust you.
You're so fired up about this.
Well, it's fun. It's a fun topic, no?
Someone who doesn't yawn when you yawn.
I don't trust people over the age of 10 who order a Sprite as a beverage at a restaurant or just drink it in general.
I like a good Sprite once in a while. Lay off. I guess once you grow up, though, a lot of people will switch Sprite drinkers to ginger ale because it feels more adulty.
Like, I remember getting on the bus to go to school, and there'd be that one kid that had a backpack with all of their paper, like, shoved in, never zipped up all the way, and they'd always have a Pepsi Max. And I'm like, you're in elementary, and you're drinking Pepsi in the morning?
Not only Pepsi.
Pepsi Max. Yeah. I don't trust you. I'd love to know where those kids are today, though.
Running around.
Probably
somewhere.
Thriving.
Yeah. 780-784-7107.
My fiance who sleeps in his jeans.
Pardon?
Yeah. We woke up from a nap one time, and then he was in his jeans, and I was like, are you a murderer? Like, I feel like only murderers sleep in jeans.
Yeah, you're like, I'm reconsidering this engagement.
So he doesn't go to bed every night in jeans. He just can nap in jeans.
Which is also weird.
But I get home and I change right into sweatpants.
Me too, instantly. I can't, even people that wear jeans at home, what is wrong with you?
Exactly. I can't do it. The moment I walk in my house, I have to change. I can't wear jeans in my house.
That's such a great answer. Thank you so much, Casey.
Bye, guys.
TU said, anyone that has children and a clean house.
Mm.
That's not right.
Impossible.
How about Captain Crunch's answer? Radio hosts. How do you have so much energy? That doesn't seem genuine.
It's not.
It's not. We're so tired.
It's the coffee.
I don't trust guys that pee sitting down.
Yeah, what is that? What is behind that? Is it just wanting more privacy, I guess?
No, like, why would you want to sit on the toilet seat?
If you don't have to.
Yeah.
Totally.
107.
Posted yesterday about the vaccination. A good friend of mine who is a pharmacist posted about the importance of it and how the choice to wait and see when it comes to the vaccination will delay the elimination of the pandemic. I shared it, and Lindsay commented with a bit of her story on testing positive for COVID-19 and a very rocky road afterwards. We have Lindsay on the phone. Can you just start from early January when you tested positive?
You know, I had very little symptoms. All I really had was I could feel something in the back of my throat that I couldn't get up. And then a couple of days later, I felt like extremely nauseated. I got a really, really bad headache, and I was having like my equilibrium was off. So I had called an ambulance, and I went to the hospital.
So when you say your equilibrium was off, like, how dizzy are we talking? To the point where you have to call an ambulance sounds really scary.
Yeah, I was like grabbing onto the wall to keep myself upright.
And at this point, you knew you had COVID?
I didn't. I had had a test, and then I called the ambulance, and ironically enough, about 20 or so minutes later, I got the text message that I was COVID positive.
Wow.
Okay.
So what happened once you got to the hospital?
They had me waiting in the waiting area that's for people that they suspect have COVID or that they know for sure have COVID. And then, to be totally honest with you, I blacked out, and that's the last of my memories of going to the hospital.
So how long were you in the hospital for?
About 6 weeks. The COVID turned into COVID pneumonia, and they had to put me on a ventilator and something called an ECMO machine, and they had to put me in a coma.
And how long was that for?
That was about 4 weeks, I think.
That must have been so terrifying for your loved ones and your family, like just not knowing what the heck is going on.
Oh, yeah. My dad said I almost killed him.
So after the hospital, you're out. It's time to recover. Can you break down where you're at right now?
When I initially had got home, there was a lot of muscle weakness, joint weakness. I still have that now. My hands were shaking. They finally have stopped shaking now. A little bit of trouble with my memory, I would say.
Yeah, I've heard and that still, that's a symptom.
Yeah, and still coughing up stuff, you know, how many weeks later. People don't realize the coughing and sneezing doesn't necessarily stop just because you're not sick anymore and no longer contagious.
So if you had a message to someone, let's say, that's on the fence about getting the vaccination, what would you say?
The risks of not having it and waiting to see far outweigh getting it. You know, the doctors had no idea why I got this sick. I have no underlying medical conditions. His exact word was, I won the lottery, but in reverse. You just don't know if you have that in your genetics. That capability to get as sick as I would. It's not worth it.
If you don't mind me asking, Lindsay, how old are you?
I'm turning 35 in about a week.
It's really terrifying because it was painted, I think, by people that found it convenient to not take it seriously. It was painted as just an illness that old people have to worry about. But I mean, your story obviously shows that's not necessarily the case. And the more that the variant hits, I think the more we're seeing that young people are being heavily affected as well. So thank you for sharing your story. If it helps a few people make the decision to get the vaccine, I think it was worth our time and yours. And we appreciate your vulnerability and honesty.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
What's wrong now?
Well, just if you're not careful on the internet, you can get yourself into some serious arguments.
Was that what you've been doing over there? Well, is just a keyboard warrior?
Yes. Yes.
Stop it. You're the one that always says, don't even read the comment section.
I know.
You are the one that advocates for that. Look at you.
The comparison that people are making to law enforcement trying to maintain the regulations that they're paid to do, to go to churches that are gathering and say, listen, you're not allowed to gather in large groups right now. This virus is contagious and dangerous. The people that are comparing that to Nazis killing rooms full of people at the same time is outrageous. And it's the dumbest argument that's been made throughout this whole thing. So I called somebody out for it, somebody I respect a lot, who made the comparison and said, that's bullshit. You can't be saying things like this on the internet.
Okay.
And I'm getting torn apart now for believing in the scandemic and everything you're hearing from the Daryls, from the angry rurals who haven't had to face what the lady we just talked to did, being put into a medically induced coma for 4 weeks and her family thinking she was dying. They haven't seen that. So they can think it's a scandemic if they want. But you try to even reason with these angry rurals and you end up getting verbally assaulted from 16 different directions because they've all sat around in groups that are too big to be gathering in and been an echo chamber for each other. And I'm just so done with that group of people who aren't listening to scientists, who aren't listening to doctors. People are dying. The numbers are skyrocketing right now. And we need to take this seriously. And the people that are out to enforce it, that don't want to go to a church of people and tell them not to gather, they don't want to do that, should not be compared to Nazis. Sorry, that's what I've been doing.
All right, so Amazon is being called out. People are taking pictures of inside their huge, what would you call that?
Warehouse?
The warehouse, exactly. And there's so much plastic.
Mm.
And none of it's like reusable. there's no reusable packaging solutions
well,
yet.
Well, it is interesting as you see the world start to try to transition out of plastics, and then things happen like everybody getting things delivered that needs a lot more plastic. Lisa Baker is a local comedian. She's from Newfoundland originally, and you'll definitely know that if you ever go and watch her do stand-up. She's amazing. She's on TikTok now. She's one of my favorite accounts. But she made a really good point about plastics. And she said, why do I have to go to the grocery store and I can't get one plastic bag there? But if I get 1 gram of weed, it comes in a plastic barrel that's usually for like the beef salt.
Which is like a huge bag.
Which is like a plastic container for 1 gram of weed. And yeah, you look at that. I've heard other buddies complain about that too. That like at the weed store, they need 2 pairs of scissors to get into anything. And like, why is there so much plastic?
Well, you even look at something like the way some toothpaste companies package their toothpaste. The toothpaste is already in a package, but then that's in a box, which is then wrapped in plastic wrap. What?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's really cool to see those new toothpaste companies. There's some local ones here in town that actually have toothpaste that have zero packaging. You just pop in. It's almost like a piece of gum. And then it starts to foam in your mouth, and that's how you, what you brush your teeth with.
Or you can just not brush your teeth for the environment. But the Masters got going today. Biggest golf tournament of the year, so catch me on the couch. I'll be watching that all weekend. Who you taking?
Paulina Gretzky's husband.
That's what he goes by?
That's his name to me. That's all.
Also, you. What else do you call him?
The hot
guy and tight pants.
Yeah, they fit him nicely. Right. I will say that.
So Dustin Johnson's your pick.
For sure. Isn't he going to win? He's going to win.
He's the top choice. So that's a good pick.
Let me guess, you're betting on it.
I am.
I know.
I took John Rahm.
I knew
year.
It. Who?
John Rahm.
Rahm or Bram?
Rahm.
107.
How much chocolate you got in you, you think?
Today, nothing. Oh, no, that's not true. I got up at around 1 a.m., so that's today.
Okay.
And I ate a Lindor bunny.
Yeah.
And it's not even my property.
His Easter, like, more significant for chocolate intake than...
Like other holidays?
Well, then Halloween mainly is what I'm thinking.
Oh, Halloween would probably be number one.
Like the top three are Halloween, Christmas, and Easter for chocolate now.
See, Halloween's bad because you have that bowl. That leftover bowl, if your neighborhood didn't have as many kids as you were hoping.
Well, and usually with Easter, the chocolate comes at once. Whereas with Halloween, you're like gathering chocolate for weeks ahead of time thinking you're going to save it. So yeah, maybe Halloween's still more chocolate. But man, I think it's maybe because the quality of chocolate the Easter Bunny dropped off this year is so dope. Mm-hmm. But like, I've been crushing Lindor.
It's so good.
And Halloween, I'm like, do I really want another Mr. Big? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like, yes, I'll have another Lindor bunny, the entire thing.
The thing that's good about Easter, though, is there's not as much evidence. Whereas around Halloween, the amount of Mars bar wrappers in my purse that time of year, it's so embarrassing. I'll like put my hand in my purse and you can hear the crinkling.
Right. Where that tinfoil conveniently crumples
it's
up
so
pretty small.
It's so small. And then you just hide it at the bottom of the garbage bin. Whereas the Halloween candy, it like floats to the top. It like expands.
True.
Ryder and Lisa. Brought to you by Southtown Hyundai.
Play 107.